Palm Sunday. Here is a celebration that for a large part of my young life, I just could not figure out. We've heard the story again just a moment ago. It all begins with a very strange request to a couple of Jesus' disciples as they draw close into their long journey into Jerusalem. Find me a colt. One that has never been ridden, untie it, and then bring it to me. And if anyone asks you why, give them this cryptic answer: the Lord needs it. And I imagine with a wink or two. And they bring him the colt. They sit him up there upon it and lay down their garments and their leafy branches, it says, in the road, as if to create a pathway of sorts, as we just saw here a few moments ago. And then as he gets moving, they begin to sing, or shout, perhaps, by singing out portions of the 118th Psalm, which we also just heard read to us. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom, the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. They shouted that, or they sung that, perhaps, from the outskirts of Jerusalem in procession all the way up to the temple. Mark says, what is all of this hubbub really about? And of course, it's traditional today that you and I join in their song and reenact as much as possible their procession. So let's hear again. We've already shouted our Hosanna. So say Hosanna with me one more time. Hosanna. Hosanna. We'll certainly sing those Hosannas more than once today. We've sung them already. Let's wave those palm branches as they would have been waving those palm branches along that road that day. And imagine, as we do, that we're gathered there along the roadside with that crowd on that particular day, ushering Jesus into this city on this most holy of weeks. You know, in some churches this morning, there will be long processions and there will be songs and palm branches waving up and down center aisles. Some of the ones that I know have their churches walk around and around and around the property three times before they ever enter into worship. Some will enter into worship today in large sanctuaries with unusually loud and festive fanfare. Oftentimes, sometimes with bells clinging and noises being made and great festivity. And in our church, as I've said earlier this morning, you know, we have this custom of carrying our own palms in festal procession back to the cross to declare in some way that this is the beginning of something special. That this week is a holy week. All of this unusual symbolism, unusual celebration, unusual words like Hosanna, that we tend to sing only on this day of the year, except that is for one other and only one other occasion. Have you ever noticed that the only other time in our worship throughout the year that we sing out our Hosanna is when we take communion? Every time we say or sing that part of the communion liturgy that we call the Sanctus, we say these words: Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Have you ever noticed that before? Those same words from that very same 118th Psalm that only appear in the New Testament in connection with today's Palm Sunday procession. Those words, of course, have been changed, you may notice, in our communion liturgy from the 118th Psalm, where it says, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And in our communion liturgy, we say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. To make clear that the person we're talking about is not just anyone, but Jesus, of course. Interesting, though, isn't it? That we sing out our hosannas on just these two occasions. What should we make of that? And more importantly, what might this common thread say to us both about how to enter into Holy Week, as well as how we might approach the table? You may have heard me say this a time or two before, and you may have caught some of the kids giving away my secret already here this morning, but the word Hosanna really just means save. Save, we beseech you. Save, we implore you. Please, please save. The word comes to us from verse 25 of Psalm 118, which we read this morning, but you probably didn't hear that word because the translators of the NRSV version went ahead and translated that term for us as save us. Save us. Save us. Salvation. These are words that we hear a lot in the church. But when was the last time you thought about what those things really mean? You know, an old advisor and friend of mine owned a sailboat and taught all of his kids how to sail. And they lived in Boston, in the Boston area, really, and had a summer house up in Maine that they'd spend a couple months of the year at. And he told me a story one time of how one of his kids took the boat out, actually all of his kids, with a friend or two, and they were about 30 years old, as I recall, at the time. And one thing happened after another that day, and I can't remember all of the details, but for some reason or another, they ended far out in the ocean somewhere off the coast of Maine that day. And then they ended up right in the middle of a huge nor'easter. This was something like a 20-foot sailboat, I think. Not a big sailboat at all. And the waves, he said, were at least that big that day. The wind was whipping all around, and all they had was this tiny little cabin. And a sail in a storm like that, I imagine, can't be much help getting you where you want to go. I think they probably took it down. They didn't tell anyone that they were going out in the boat that day. For some crazy reason, they either didn't check the weather or, more likely, didn't take the weather report seriously enough. And there they were, out at sea in a small sailboat in all of that. Can you imagine that? When he told me that story, he told it as if I should know immediately what all this means, as if I have any sailing training, which I don't. I do have an imagination, though. It was, of course, a near-death experience, but he told it in a way that was all the worse, because for him it wasn't a near-death experience, it was a near-death experience for all of his children. They had radioed for help to the Coast Guard while they were still out there, but while they were waiting, apparently, for the rescue, the boat had flipped upside down. And they ended up holding on for dear life somehow for 4 to 5 hours before the Coast Guard finally showed up and found them and picked them up. They were, of course, extremely, extremely fortunate. A work of God's providence. I think those were Paul's words. You know, they were saved, weren't they? That is what salvation means, to be rescued, to be delivered out of the hands of some dangerous or opposing force, to find oneself completely powerless in the face of some situation, and to find help from someone powerful and resourceful enough to do something about it. And sometimes I think it means more than just deliverance from some one-time event or some immediate threat or rescue, but rescue perhaps from some ongoing threat too, some continuing danger. Sometimes we call out in search of salvation when we feel powerless in the face of some external threat that we know that we're no match for, don't we? Sometimes we call out in search of salvation when we feel powerless against something on the inside of us too, like an addiction perhaps. In every case, though, salvation really has to do with power, though, doesn't it? With recognizing our own powerlessness and with a call to the one who is more powerful for help. Try hearing again with me those first Palm Sunday hosannas that ushered Jesus into Jerusalem that day. Hear and think about where those hosannas might really be coming from. Save us, Jesus. Here we'll walk with you and pave your way all the way up to the temple itself. We're ready. We need you. Save us. Imagine and feel with me the feeling of powerlessness and desperation behind that call, as well as the hope and the trust that this crowd was setting upon them as they walked along, waving those branches. Save us from this mess. Save us from the many, many crises besetting our people, many of our own making. Save us from the Romans. I'm sure many of them were thinking, save us from the Romans, who could be strict and harsh and cruel overlords. Save us from all of our own infighting, perhaps, because we are so divided and so stuck, they must have been thinking. But most of all, just save us. Do something, because we know that we cannot. We know the solution we need is beyond our power. Save us. Hosanna. You know, there is a spirit of surrender and entrusting of hope in that cry of Hosanna, in that search for salvation, that only comes, I think, where we can recognize the partition line between where my power and where my ability to affect change in the world comes to an end, and where we look to God with our prayers for what lies beyond. And quite a lot lies beyond our power. Think about the fact that that prayer, that call, that attitude are how we enter into Holy Week and how we come to Christ's table with a heart searching and aware of the many, many, many ways that we and our whole world lie in need of rescue and change, and for which we call out to our God to save us from all of this. Save us from those forces, oh God, that we can't seem to get a hold of. Save us from the worst in our world and from the worst in ourselves. Save us from the ways that our own human brokenness wreaks havoc in the world that we can't seem to contain or put back into the bottle. Think about the fact that we enter this week and come to this table with that prayer on our lips every single time, Hosanna. Save us, O God. And I want to ask you, what does that mean for you today? To utter that word, to sing that song, to cry that cry with that crowd, save us, O God, from this mess. What is the salvation cry of Hosanna on your hearts today? What hope, what cry are you carrying within you this week and to this table with you today? What are you holding out in your heart before God? I invite you to take some time to consider that this morning. And I pray that your time at the table today and your entering into this most holy of weeks where we walk with Jesus all the way through towards the cross and beyond, I pray that you might bring into your minds what you carry with you into this week and what you bring with you to this table as we surrender that hope to God and pray that prayer and sing that song, Hosanna. Hosanna, O God, save us from this mess. Save us from the worst in ourselves, from the worst in our world. Bring us along. Do your work in us. And all of God's people said, amen.